We're so glad to have you guys here. John.
I'm going to use that mic. Thanks.
My father-in-law, thank you, said many great things. He was a mechanical engineering professor at Tennessee Tech.
Mm-hmm.
And I often say that I married Marilyn for her dad. Because we would always get together, we'd always have three generations of tools in his basement, his drive-in basement, that we could work on any project together. And we always had something we'd work on together. But one of his famous quotes is, when in doubt, drive faster. And especially in jet ski, that's just the thing. You got to get the board planed up, you got to go. So it's one of those life mottos. For 22 years, Marilyn and I have been with Mission Aviation Fellowship now. But as Joe said, long before that, we were here in sunny Del Rio. There's so much to be said. See, this is how long we've known them.
This girl is now almost 30.
And a doctor. She's actually in Galveston now doing her surgery residency with a global emphasis. We just got to see her 2 days ago, so mm-hmm. It's been really nice to drive to Texas to see our girls. But this is the other reason we were in Texas. Sarah, our second daughter, got married here in January. And I am so thankful, I mean, obviously for my new son-in-law, but God has been faithful, and our girls are doing wonderful in his care. I mean, Rachel is a doctor. Sarah is a resettled refugees there in Houston and is now married to a wonderful teacher, actually, and has the patience of Job. Much different than I, but he's what Sarah needs, and that's been a really neat thing. And then Christiana actually works at headquarters with us, and so God has been faithful in their lives, and we just want to give him all the glory, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So I was going to mention that we're not the only MAF missionaries that Del Rio Bible Church supports. You guys also support Brock and Lisa Larson, who were here at your church after we were. And they send warm greetings. I just wanted to pass that on to you guys. We, both families, really appreciate your support of our families. Just before we came, it's always nice to know what's been going on in the church while right before we come. And we noticed that you guys have been going through the book of Mark. It's kind of fascinating to follow a day in the life of Jesus, right? And what we'd like to do today is tell you about how the Lord is working through the ministry of MAF, or Mission Aviation Fellowship. We're going to tell you what a day in the life of an MAF staff member or missionary looks like, whether it's an IT guy, a teacher, a pilot, or staff at headquarters. But before we go any further, we'd like to show you a quick video.
Let's see if this works.
Next one.
Is it not working?
Next
slide. I did.
Okay, Steve to the rescue.
That's working.
We have confidence that this is going to work.
It missed the movie. We did. I saw it.
Isolation is a problem. Millions of people around the world live in hard-to-reach areas, in remote jungles, deserts, and mountains, cut off from life-giving resources and the message of the gospel. For over 75 years, Mission Aviation Fellowship has used airplanes to partner with hundreds of missionaries, churches, and organizations to bring help, hope, and healing to isolated people living in the most remote places on the planet. By serving together through generous donors, partners, and dedicated, well-trained staff, MAF gives isolated people access to medical care, education, clean water, food supplies, disaster relief, and the love of Jesus. Partner with MAF so that isolated people can be changed by the love of Christ.
Now it works. So some of you guys know that we were based in Congo when we first joined MAF. Our three girls, since they were raised there, consider themselves American Africans, and they thoroughly identify with that whole third culture kid, which will tie into our second presentation here, because we know several people that went over there to where she's working. I'm also an IT specialist, which I learned right here. When I was at the base, God revealed some gifts and talents that I didn't know I had through a very interesting turn of events, but I learned IT skills here. We built over the first 200 PC network out there at the base. I got to work hands-on with the enlisted guys, putting in the infrastructure, building the networks, and that has then translated to me being a pilot IT guy for all my stuff around the world, which is part of the story today. So we're going to take a trip down to Ecuador. I went there last fall. Who guys knows the story of Nate Saint? This is actually that historic site. Shell, Ecuador, and actually you'll see that where the pink line goes through is still the Nate Saint house. It's been restored. It's not just a history for missionaries, but it's actually a history for the Ecuadorian government, and it's now a national site. So it's really neat to be part of this. But 10 years ago, I was there and did the first infrastructure upgrade for them. And now it's time for a refresh of that. They were having some security concerns. They wanted to put in security cameras. And so a team from headquarters went down there and we built a new network for them. The pink lines are where we put a 10 gig fiber to have a backbone for the network. And infrastructure, this was the old cabinet that I really built 10 years ago. We pulled that out and upgraded to a more modern, you know, modern clean line system. Starlink, you guys, who knows about Starlink? Got Starlink installed, and it's just revolutionizing the way they can do ministry, because it's $500 for a Starlink antenna, and in Ecuador, it costs $50 a month to have 200 meg internet. So it's just changing the way we can do a lot of things there. We wanted to put a whole new power system in, batteries. So Wilson here, the local guy, we arrived on scene. It's like, we want to build a battery rack that'll hold, you know, a ton of batteries. Can you do this in a few days? And so he literally worked night and day to build a concrete pad, put the rails in there, like, you know, railroad tie rails with wheels, and he built that sledge, and we, you know, did this in 2 weeks. So hats off to our national staff that we work so closely with to get a job done. We're using all kinds of crazy resources. Sasha here is from headquarters. He's Russian, but a really neat heart. I really enjoy working with him. There's the Saint house, and here's the battery rack underneath it. So the gassing of the batteries is outside and doesn't cause problems. And then inside the wall there, Sasha is putting together the power system. Sometimes you have to be creative in third world countries. We asked for a bucket truck, you know, to mount the cameras. And after several days of negotiations, this is what showed up. So yeah, it might have been a bucket truck at one time, or it could be if you had all the parts, but they were missing the parts to hook the bucket to. And so literally straps, cargo straps were used to hold the bucket together. And yeah, we put up some cameras and had some lots of fun.
I feel like you're just supervising, John. I mean, were you working too?
On occasion. So we put up 50 cameras to give them coverage of inside the hangars, outside the hangars, because they were having some theft problems, and just gave the whole network a run once over. But here's their new uniforms. This is what we often find Jesus ministering in the context of daily life. So you find him eating, drinking, right? He came to eat and drink. But that's how he does ministry. And so, of course, when we're with people, that's how we do ministry. Living day-to-day life, working with them side by side, eating and fellowshipping, and that's how you rub shoulders and share with people. And it's just, it's a neat thing that we get to be part of and celebrate around the world God's goodness and faithfulness in all avenues.
So I'm not a pilot, although I do have my private license. Haven't flown by myself since Christiana was born. But I am. That's not my thing. That's not my profession. I'm a teacher by trade. And when I was here in Del Rio, I taught for the first 5 years that we were here until Rachel was born and took a 10-year break. And then when I went back to Congo, I taught in the international school, which is down on the bottom right. That's me with my English as a second language class. I loved the variety of kids that we had. And then up in the top left, I also taught evening English as a second language classes. So that's sort of my history in teaching. My heart is to teach. But in MAF, I just wanted to let you guys know that we have a need for teachers right now, because that's one of the professions that we have. Particularly in Indonesia. We have open positions for teachers right there in Indonesia. Just this week, I was reading a newsletter. This is going to show you how you get from here to Indonesia.
If it worked. There it goes.
All right. It's a ways away. But I was reading one of the newsletters from one of the teachers, and she was telling us about the challenges of getting together a field trip for her kids. You're in a developing country, there's lots of logistics. Where do you go? So one of the places they go is to the airport to visit MAF planes. They're not all MAF MKs, missionary kids who are in the school. So they go and they visit the airport, find out a little bit more about the planes. There's also JARS, which is an aircraft ministry of Wycliffe there. So they do that. They've gone to a chocolate factory. They've gone to to an agricultural center. This is all right there in Indonesia. But this is elementary school, which I think this is very cool. But when you get to high school, they take it to a whole new level. And they get on MAF airplanes and JARS aircraft, and they go out to a village. There's about 50 high school kids who do this every February. They go to the village, and they camp, and they do all kinds of projects that the village has asked for. Like, for example, they're doing repairs on the runway. There's a lot of rain, so you're going to have needed repairs on a constant basis. They'll do repairs. They'll even do some instruction on HIV/AIDS, and they'll do VBS for the kids and so forth. So that's what they do for their high school spring break. The whole high school goes. So if you'd be interested in teaching kids, these great kids overseas, let us know. We love the kids, the families that we send overseas, and so we want the best teachers for them. So we've talked about a couple of professions that we have in MAF and a day in the life of. We talked about IT. We talked about teaching. And John's going to tell us a little bit about piloting.
So if we go here to Haiti, some of you guys know that Haiti's in a bad situation right now. We're going to cover that. One of the organizations that we get to partner with is this Lemuel Ministries, and it is what I find encouraging. It is Haitians working with Haitians in a very holistic manner, you know, not imposing outside traditions and everything on the people, but no, we're working from within to build up the country. And this is a traditionally an arid area. It has historically been a very lush area, but as climate change have happened, the forests have been deforested, and it's become more of a dry area. But they're trying to re-teach the people. You need trees. You need agriculture in order to make and keep your country working. So I was working with the team here. Again, Starlink came in. And so they said, we got the new technology, how do we use this? So I was able to fly up there, use my IT skills and my pilot skills all together one time. We ran Ethernet across our campus, and the main house up here, the main house up here is where Starlink is, and then we have a network connection down to the guest house, across the runway, and then over to the campus where they've got a church, chapel, and school, and got all those offices connected and working with the new internet. Here teaching some of David Munchmore was kind of a founder, but is now all Haitian-led. So he occasionally comes down to bring some more technology and help him out, but he's very much a hands-off, not there all the time. the ups and downs. This is a really hard subject. Like you see the clouds of smoke over the terminal. You guys have, if you've been noticing and following the news, basically Haiti lost its elected government. 2 years ago, the president was assassinated, and there's currently no elected official in any post of office. The prime minister who took over is even out of country and not doing, he's resigning. So the Caribbean nations are trying to come together and say, how can we help out this country? They're trying to form a coalition government to help start that, but the violence of the gangs is still continuing and keeping, the Port-au-Prince airport is closed. The gang is actually controlling all around the airport, and there's been no operations for almost a month now. There's a few flights coming in from Cape Haitian on the north, but it's very, very sporadic. We have two families that are currently there, so please pray. They're located in Pion, which is our, we stepped out of Haiti for the last few months as a way of trying to reevaluate how does MAF fit into this, and how do we keep our families safe and let us work in this environment. And so one of the ideas was if we base our families in Pion, a small village, it's an old Baptist mission station, that way we can live in the culture and context with the people in a safer environment, and we fly into Port-au-Prince on a daily basis as necessary to be with other missionaries. So that's what they're trying to do, and right now there's two families there in Pion, so they're typically safe, but it is a very big concern for us. More than 1,500 people have been killed just the first 3 months here of 2020. And over 53,000 people have fled. The UN expert on the developing nations says this is a Somali situation rapidly developing within the next few weeks even. So it's a very, very big concern for prayer. He mentioned, which I agree with, that the gangs are controlling not for a political agenda. They're not Maoists. They're not anything like, you know, they're trying to take over, save their country. They thrive in the chaos. There's drug trafficking, sex trafficking, all these things that are happening, and so they thrive in the chaos, and so they want to keep the chaos and no government because that's how they can keep making their lucrative transactions. But so please pray because only God can save the situation there. When I went to Ange Rouge to help with the missionaries, I happened to have some of my technology, as you see out front, where I mounted the camera, a 360 camera on the wing. And as I was taking off, I was recording the video. So let's see what happens. There's no sound because it's just airplane noise. But I've obviously the airplane is powers up, it's accelerating. I've got good power, I've got good acceleration. Okay, my speed check is good. At the end of the soccer field, it's like, okay, I'm committed to takeoff now, so I want to call continue. So just as I call continue, did you see that? What was that? Let's take a look. So again, speed check's good. All right, I'm acceleration, yep, everything's good. I'm continuing. You see, I had to pull pretty hard.
One more time.
So Mr. Donkey decided that he was upset. And instead of running away from the noise, he comes right back to the airplane and literally, he freezes right there where the nose wheel would have been if I had not reacted. So who's a pilot here? You guys want challenging situations? See, here we go. So I had to pull really, really hard and then push back over to not stall the aircraft. And the people in the back, you know, they're like, it's silent. And then, we're alive! We're alive! But
all right. Well, I'm going to refer back.
I'm sorry, I have to hold this mic. I'm going to refer back to our MAF vision and mission statement, and I'm not sure we've gone over it, but this is that our vision is to reach the isolated with the love of Jesus. How? By serving together to bring help, hope, and healing through aviation. So I just want to give you a little bit of an idea what happens if you're not the teacher, the IT guy, or the pilot. In aviation, it takes a team to just do one flight, whether or not you see a donkey on the runway. But I feel like I'm an integral part of the team, even though I work at headquarters. I just give you a little bit of history. I've already given you that I've been a teacher
also a bookkeeper and a mom. And each one of those roles has prepared me for what I'm doing now. I lead a team of coaches who come alongside our missionaries as they raise their support, both their financial support and their prayer support. And our team just helps launch new missionaries to the field. And then we keep walking alongside the staff through their entire career. I still have a coach, in fact. John and I still have a coach. So, you know, normally I enjoy my job very much, but it is exhausting. It's been kind of a surprise to me that I love being a part of the fundraising raising side of MAF, especially the relational part. As a nonprofit, MAF actually receives over two-thirds of our funding from donations from individuals and churches like Del Rio Bible Church. And so thank you guys. John, at the beginning, we had the quote, fundraising is first and foremost a form of ministry. And I fully agree with that. I love the chance to go and tell people what's going on in the ministry and how they can be a part of it. But in many ways, I see myself as like an anchor or a liaison for our missionaries. I spend my days connecting people to people, both overseas and at headquarters. For example, I might talk one day with the mobilization department, the training department, the donor services, which is where our daughter Christy works, shipping, HR, finance, IT, and marketing and communications. I literally have connections and a need to converse with them every week. So some days I might be making sure that a payment gets sent to language school in France. Another day, we might be celebrating with staff who've reached 100% for the first time. And that's my team. We're celebrating with Zach Francois. Now, he's a Haitian fella who grew up very close to our MAF missionaries, and we have come alongside him to help support him, MAF as an organization, and he is now fully qualified as both a pilot and a mechanic, and he just finished raising all of his financial support. So I just feel like that's a really big victory, and he's planning to go back and serve in his home country. I love what I do. And sometimes we ask our staff, what did the Lord teach you during your season of full-time support raising? And it's really humbling to learn that they have been taught that you can trust the Lord. He is worthy. You can trust his timing. He's also got all the time in the world, and he's the one in control of that. Another thing that I feel like our staff learn is that they are not in control, which is a hard one. But then after they've gotten to full support, what do? We send them to difficult places, like Haiti, for example. And they, or Mozambique, or other countries. Almost every country has difficulties, let me just say. And after, once we've sent them out, part of our job is that these new missionaries, they'll be speaking to us because we've walked with them through this difficult time before they go to the field. We're kind of like their support group back at headquarters. And they tell us their struggles and they tell us their joys. And we love that. I love it when they come back and they come straight to our department to get hugs. Particularly enjoy that. But it's very satisfying, and I feel like God is using me. In Matthew, we see a reassurance by Jesus. First, he says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And then he ends it with this, and surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And what I want to do now is just give you a little bit of an update on a story where we feel Jesus was completely with us. And that is, this is a kind of a map of where we are in the world, MAF worldwide, where we are serving. But I think from the conversations I've already had today, I know that you guys have kept up with the story of Ryan Coer, Ryan and Annabelle Coer and their family, that he was wrongfully detained about a year and a half ago in Mozambique right before a flight. And he ended up in a Mozambican prison for 4 full months, while his family was brought back to the States for their safety. Well, at the end of 4 months, he was released from prison. We felt like that was kind of miraculous, but he was released, but his case was still ongoing. And they, it was, his family went back a couple weeks after he got out. They went back and joined him. So they were able to live together as a family, but he wasn't able to fly or do maintenance, but he was able to do some other things to really help the ministry there. Well, in October, he got his passport back, and they were able to come back to the United States. And so one might think, okay, I have been there and done that. I don't want to do that again. But that is actually not their position at all. They worked hard to learn the Portuguese, and they had already learned to love the Mozambican people. So their plan is to go back again after they finish this furlough. Right now, we're waiting for the case to clear. It should clear this summer. And I'd love to have just a complete clearing of his record, because he literally has done nothing wrong. One of the things that Annabelle wrote, and she and Ryan have been examples of people who really, really believe that they can trust God, and they've seen his hand in so many things. But Annabelle writes, she said, "We are praising God for being who he is throughout the season. No matter what the outcome, we always knew we could rest in him and his sovereignty. We are thankful that his will to bring us to this point where we are back in the United States for just a period of time before returning to Mozambique." So I kind of just want to take this chance to say thank you. Thank you for praying. Thank you for thinking about Ryan and Annabelle during this. And we pray for complete exoneration as we look to the future. So this concludes our time of telling a little bit of a day in the life of an MAF staff. For most people, it doesn't include 4 months in prison, I'm happy to report. But please feel free to come back and visit us. We have a table set up in the back, and you can sign up for our prayer letter and just have a chance to get to know you guys. And we look forward to eating with you. As John said, that's an important part of our life.
We're off to next person.
All right.
Please pray for John and Marilyn, and as you think about them. And do take the opportunity to see them during the fellowship lunch. Right now, I want to introduce Becky Rohrer. We met Becky through her brother, Jake, and Kristen, his wife. And we've been part of her support team for a couple of years now, and we're excited that she could be here today. So please welcome Becky Rohrer.
Well, good morning. I am very happy to be with you. I was able to come down to Del Rio for a wedding and Easter, and wanted to come fellowship with you and then have the opportunity to just share a quick little update of where I'm at and what God is doing in these next months ahead. Just, I guess, for those who may not know me, I work with Reach Global, which is a missions organization that works around the world. Our goal is to multiply transformational churches among the least reached people groups. And so my team in Yaoundé, Cameroon, I'm very unprepared. I don't even have pictures for you guys. But my team focuses on partnering with a Cameroonian ministry that is seeking to reach 15 unreached people groups in Cameroon, which are all Muslim. And so we do that through Bible studies, very relationally, taking them from Genesis all the way to Christ. To be able to share the gospel with them. And I just wanted to share that another woman has trusted in Christ and it was actually baptized last week on Easter. And so we praise God for that. Her name is Kaltumi. She lives in the northern part of Cameroon, so not where I'm working, but where a family in the Cameroonian ministry is living and working. And so we praise God for that. I praise God for the many. I think she's one of seven this last year that have trusted in Christ. And we continue to pray for wisdom to know how do we disciple Muslim background believers. What are the things that that they are going to face? Many of them have faced persecution from their families. And how do we walk with them in that? Many of the women that have come to Christ, they lose their whole support system. Their family, if they are disowned by their family, that's their shelter, their food. They don't usually work outside of the home. And so we're praying for wisdom to know how to walk alongside them and equip them for walking with Christ and how to survive even. So you can continue to pray for that. I also, as you probably know, have been in the States for about a year and a half now, but I'm getting ready to head back in July. I actually just this week got the go-ahead to buy my ticket. So I'll be looking at going back to Cameroon the end of July, which I'm very excited about. But there's a lot to do before that. I'm currently finishing my second semester of school. I've been pursuing a program with the end goal of a counseling degree, wanting to use that to not only help especially some of the women that have come to Christ. There's a lot of trauma in their background. There's a lot of hurt, and wanting to be able to walk through that with them and for them to find healing from those things in Jesus Christ is my desire, as well as my team also wants to pursue how can we also reach the most vulnerable in Cameroon, whether that's widows or orphans or women at risk. And so one of the things I'll be doing when I go back is exploring what that might look like. And that's part of my desire in getting training in counseling. So I'm just finishing my second semester, and my program is actually closing. I just found that out a few weeks ago. The university is really paring down, and so they're closing their undergraduate and graduate programs. So I'm kind of in the same boat I was this time last year, as I'm praying, okay, what now, Lord? It's been a bumpy ride in general, pursuing this, and so I'm kind of in a place of, Lord, what is best? I think you have had purpose in this last year, in this program that I've been in. Do you want me to transfer to a different university online, or go in a different route and look at biblical counseling certification? I was in the same exact place this time last year. And so if you would pray with me that God would just make the path very clear, what he would have, what would be best for the ministry in Africa, what training would be most helpful. I'm just looking for tools to help people come to Christ and find healing in Jesus. And so if you would pray with me for clarity and wisdom as I decide what to do next in that decision making. I also, in these next few months, it's only a few months before July is here, which is exciting, and also all of the other emotions. I've hit the transition mode where I'm like, okay, what do I need to pack? What am I getting rid of? What needs to go to storage? Which, if you've moved, you know what that's like. And then as well as all of the, okay, who do I need to see before I go? So I'm kind of in that stage of all of the things. And so you can pray for strength and for just a wisdom in knowing where to go and how to put together my schedule for the next 4 months before I go in July. Part of that is I'm really thankful I get to be here today and see you all, and I'm looking forward to pizza and conversation, both. But part of that, I'll be trying to visit all of my ministry partners before that time. And I also am at about 85% of my monthly budget goal of finances raised. And so you can pray with me that the Lord would provide that 15% more so I can be at 100% by July when I go back. So just pray for God to raise up more partners who are interested, who want to invest in this ministry in Cameroon. That's all I have for my little mini update. I would love to talk to you more, and I love getting questions, so feel free to ask those. I'll even set aside my pizza to have a conversation with you. But I just want to say, overall, thank you so much for your prayer and your financial support. And it's been a really big blessing to have that these past few years and to slowly get to know you as I get to come down and visit. And so, thank you.
Don't forget to pray for Becky and take the opportunity to talk to her a little later. Okay, right now we're going to... Oh, by the way, I also want to really thank you, because without your giving, the church couldn't support the missionaries we do. So you guys make it happen. Thank you for what you do.